My passion is the fight for freedom. My father fought for World War II defending our country. Today, we are no longer fighting with guns. Instead, we are fighting an ideological battle for control of our country by contributing to causes that support your constitutional rights. I am Patriot Mobile.
I thank and praise God for this borewell that God has enabled us to put in this village. With the prayer and support of Pastor Greg Young and Chosen Generation Radio Ministry, and by the prayer and support of the Pastor Greg Young and the Chosen Generation Ministry, we could put the borewell in this village for the community. Before, this community was drinking dirty water, and that was really causing a lot of sickness. But now they are getting pure and fresh water, and all the community is so thankful for Pastor Greg Young and Chosen Generation Ministry and all the supporters. And we pray for all of you that God would bless you and God would use you so that we can put more and more borewells in a poor and a needy community, those who are really having a problem of the water. And this borewell we have put, and pure and fresh water is coming, and we are so thankful for all of you. Especially we thank to Pastor Greg Young and Chosen Generation Ministry that help us and support us to put the borewell. Thank you. God bless you.
Hi, I'm Tim Sheff, a certified natural health practitioner of over 40 years. I want to introduce you to a product that changed my life. The product's called Vibe, available at cgrwellness.com. I thought I was on a good nutritional program before I discovered Vibe. I was taking the traditional vitamin and mineral tablets, wasn't really feeling any different. So I tried Vibe. Vibe is an all-in-one vitamin and mineral supplement. It's a liquid multivitamin. It's cold-pressed, whole-food sourced, non-radiated, gluten-free, and has no pasteurization. Vibe is like fresh juicing without all the work. It supports four areas of the body: cardiovascular health, immune health, anti-aging, and healthy cell replication. Vibe is available in a 32-ounce bottle for home use or a very handy 1-ounce travel packet for life on the go. The first time I tried Vibe, I had more energy in about 20 minutes. I started thinking clear. Even believe I slept better. Get yours today at cgrwellness.com. Coupon code CHOSENGENRADIO at checkout and receive $20 off your first order of $50 or more. That's cgrwellness.com. Coupon code CHOSENGENRADIO. Get yours today.
These statements have not been evaluated by the U.S. Food and Drug Administration. Any of the products do not treat, reduce, cure, or prevent disease.
Welcome to Chosen Generation with your host, Pastor Greg Young.
But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should shew forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy.
And now, Chosen Generation, where no topic is off limits and everything is filtered through biblical glasses. And now, here's your host, Pastor Greg.
And welcome to the program. Great to have you with me. Thanks so much for being here. I know you have a choice in where you can listen each and every day. Thank you for keeping it tuned here to Chosen Generation Radio. Let me change that graphic. Not that I don't mind seeing my good friend Matt, but he's not my guest now. All right. Woo, it is Wednesday. Hump day. I hope you're getting through the week and getting over the hump. If you didn't get a chance to do this, by the way, I want to really encourage you to get over to the ChosenGenerationRadio.com website. And the very first blog post is Resolution and Prayer to Stop the G20 New Delhi Leaders Declaration. I've written out a resolution that I believe you can present to your city council, county commission, whatever entity you want to present it to, and then a prayer to pray over your county, over your city, to push back against the darkness that this is. This G20 basically is the 20 nations, including the United States, who have done produced a 37-page resolution that adopts Agenda 2030 in full, out in public, in the full light of the day, and states that they are absolutely 100% all on board with everything the WTO says, and that the WTO should direct trade decisions and so on, economic policy for all 20 nations. The WHO, this puts in place digital cities. Everybody wondered about digital cities. It's laid out for you. It's clearly laid out. And if you thought that you own anything, own a home, if you thought you had any sovereignty in the United States whatsoever, the G20 resolution says that no nation has sovereignty. None. They just gave away your constitutional rights. And so I would encourage you, the only way we fight this back is we start at the very local level by setting up and putting in place individuals that will not, under any circumstances, give authority to entities that are not a part of and sworn allegiance to the Constitution of the United States of America. Period. End of story. So that's what this is about. And then the spiritual component, because this is a Antichrist demonic agenda. And we, as sons and daughters of the Most High God through Jesus Christ our Lord, and that's why I pushed back on the guest on Monday who wanted to claim that there are multiple paths and God just killed his son because he was having a bad day. Yeah, no. Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through him. All right, anyway, lots more for you today, but that is incredibly critical to where we stand. Claire Lopez and Rick Manning are with me. Melanie Collette is here. Tierra and Rose Mandelberg, and we'll close with Pastor Clenard Howard Childress Jr., who is the founder of...
Good morning, Greg. Good day and happy...
Hello. Let me just jump in really quick. This is a program that did not air on the network, an interview that I did with David Shostokas, not this past Wednesday, but a week ago. So we'll jump into that right now. I'm going to give you a portion of that interview. You can get the rest of it at the show archives. And then I also will be playing a piece that I did with Gregory Stenstrom and Leah Hoops regarding the election fraud, and then Don Jans and Gordon Chaps Klingenschmidt will join me in hour number two. Don and I will be talking again about the advance of Marxism and the Speaker of the House issue and his thoughts on that. And then Chaps and I will be talking about the opportunity that we have to preserve and protect our Christian heritage as a nation and the assaults that are happening. All right, here we go. Let's get back to it. On Wednesdays, my good friend, Mr. David Shostokas, our constitutional originalist. Hey, David.
Hey, good morning, Greg. Good and happy Thursday. And
Wednesday.
Happy Wednesday. Yes, it seems like it's going to be Thursday. It's been an incredibly busy week in so many places. And there's so many things to follow. And as you said, when you talk about the G20 business and everything else that's going on, I just think of my moments inside the Jefferson Memorial and the cost of liberty is eternal vigilance. Tom was fond of saying, and he's absolutely right. You have to defend your liberty. While we say that it's God given and we belong to it, it belongs to us. I guess people don't. They only tell about half the story when they talk about our rights, because, of course, with our rights comes responsibilities. And so, yeah.
Well, and they come from, and it's so critically important to understand that they come from God.
Yeah.
And so therefore, you know, he is setting rules. He does make, you know, when we talk about, you know, the rule of law and you know, and nature's laws or what have you, we're talking about the biblical law. We're talking about God's laws because he's the one who set those laws in place. And unless we are following those, we are destined for failure. As a nation,
yeah, we have to follow them, but we have to defend them, and we have to defend them from essentially the folks that want to take them away, or the other people that want to exercise something besides God's law. And so it's just say those words imply that we own things, but we do, but we have to defend the things we own.
Yeah,
we have an obligation to do that, and of course. Again, the Declaration of Independence indicates that government is instituted among men to protect these rights, not to take them away. And so we have to see to it that the government does what it's supposed to do. And it's a challenge day in, day out. I was actually on a Zoom yesterday, and it went very, very smoothly, considering there were 16 lawyers on the Zoom call. But those 16 lawyers were all defense counsel for various folks that are involved in the Georgia case.
Okay.
The ongoing matters with President Trump going on in Georgia there, and trying to sort out all the different things and kind of coordinate what motions everybody's filing, what motions people are joining, what motions affect their clients and don't affect others. It was really interesting that these folks were joining together for the common defense, if you will, of the attack on all our rights that's going on in Georgia. I can't emphasize enough to folks that this Trump indictment in Georgia and the 18 other people there, the folks that cheer this on, don't have any idea that all five rights in the First Amendment will be diminished.
Right.
If that happens. And but I will, something encouraging about that is I did an interview over the weekend with a reporter from Paris. I spent about an hour with a television reporter from Paris. And then yesterday morning I was on in London and also Sydney, Australia. And those folks there understand as well the dangers to American rights, how American rights will be diminished by this case in Georgia, but the fact that historically, at any rate, America has been the model for the world, for something to strive towards.
Right.
And that, in fact, if there's a diminishment of the rights for Americans, how that adversely affects the people in London and Paris and Sydney, what? Australia.
Because the people over there, you know, we've been watching, and I've been talking about this for the last 10 years on the program. You and I have talked about it all the time that you've been on as well. But we've talked about, you know, the infringements that were happening in London and on the streets of London and in Paris and on the streets of Paris and in Canada and on the streets of Canada.
Right.
But now, you know, I mean, I have up... You know, on my screen, the individuals now that are being impacted here in the United States, the street preachers,
right?
That are, you know, the First Amendment is being quashed. When you really stop and think about what has happened and the targeting, for example, of the J6 people, all five of their First Amendment rights. Plus the 4th, 5th, and 6th amendments are all being violated regarding the individuals who went to speak freely, who had a religious conviction about many of the things they were there to talk about, like the shutting down of their churches and being forced to accept an injection and you know, and those kinds of closed up into their houses, these kinds of issues. There were religious exemptions that were being violated. There was free speech being violated. There were members of the press, of the free press, who were suppressed and who were told that they couldn't film or couldn't do this or couldn't do that. There were obviously everyone there was gathered. 99% were there peacefully. When you consider the millions that were there, 99% were there peacefully. All of them were denied that right, and they were 100% denied the right to redress their government.
100%, and that all comes into play, like you said, in the First Amendment. And but it's it really, really is interesting that we've got a handle. But they, like I said, this past few days, I've had an opportunity to talk to some people from around the world, and they know that we've been the model and the hope for when their rights are trampled on and diminished. They could always
when the London people were being assaulted, they pointed to America, you know, as an example, and said, wait, we're supposed to have some freedoms like that. In Paris, they said the same thing. In Canada, they said the same thing. And so now here we are, and it's happening in us. Can I read? Let me read this declaration real quick that I wrote. And, you know, I didn't have it red letter stamped by an attorney or anything, but I just but so we'll see what you think. But I wrote, we, and then in parentheses, elected governing body, city, county, state, declare that we will not be subject to the provisions of the G20 New Delhi Leaders Declaration. We declare that we have been given inalienable rights by God, the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. We declare that we are a free people, independent of any international body or organization, and that we are governed by the United States Constitution and reserve all rights afforded by said Constitution. We further declare that as the duly elected representatives of we the people of county, city, or state, in parentheses, we reserve all rights and privileges guaranteed in the United States Constitution on behalf of we the people who elected us. Under the authority given to us by Almighty God, as declared in the Declaration of Independence and codified in the United States Constitution, all rights reserved.
I think that positive statement is very, very worthwhile. People, it not only reminds the world about that, about the circumstances for the people that their local government should enact that, but it would also remind the people themselves that these things exist. So I would say, you know, I'm thinking, though, of course, Jefferson changed John Locke from life, liberty, and property to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, indicating that, of course, in some euphemistic way, the ability to own things is your ability to accumulate wealth in one shape or way, shape, or form, is, in fact, the pursuit of happiness. But, of course, property is much more than, say, real estate or owning your car or owning your... It includes intellectual property to own the things that are in your mind. And I'm not so certain that, you know, the other team always kind of commandeers the language. I think it might be worthwhile if we would consider the rights to life, liberty, and property, because we're essentially, one of the things that the government is supposed to do is when you have property that you've legally obtained through the regular system, that and government recognizes that, they're supposed to defend your right to have the property that you've legally obtained. May be worthwhile to get rid of Jefferson's euphemism.
The other thought that I have, though, and I respect that. The other thought that I have, though, is when you understand, as I understood, Jefferson was trying to go beyond just, as you said, just property, but everything that you could obtain in order to have and receive that place of contentment, a place where you feel unthreatened, where you feel as though there's no one who's trying to take away from you the ability to experience the first two, the life, liberty, and then complete contentment, which includes your property, your business, your family, your autonomy, your sovereignty, all of those things.
Those are all kinds of property, if you will.
Yeah.
And I think it's worthwhile to maybe commandeer that word back and indicate that property is the things that surround you in your life that you own and you have this sphere of control.
No, I agree. I mean, I think it's important for and maybe even in the declaration to expand upon what that is. What is happiness entailing?
Yeah.
You know, relative to.
Is kind of a pursuit of happiness is a great marketing tool for a revolutionary document.
It's well, and maybe perhaps as you mentioned, you know, a type of euphemism that also potentially gives the other side the ability to negotiate you out of what it is that you rightfully belongs to you. So that's another consideration.
And the second treatise on civil government and life, liberty, and property, and have understanding. You know, in the first year of law school, they have a class called property, property one, property two. And the very first day, they tell you what is property. Well, property is none of these physical things. It's actually a bundle of rights. It's the right to control your own personal ability to control certain things about your life is what property actually is.
The only difference that I would push back relative to Locke, and we've talked about this before, is you know, Locke made these things somewhat existential, where they were in either man's hand or God's hand, and our founders rejected that notion and said, no, life, liberty, and this pursuit of happiness, this ability to have, and maybe the word we're really looking to grab here is dominion. Life, liberty, and dominion. Because that is, if you look at it, you know, from the perspective of how God created us and then what he declared over us and what he released us to do, he released us to have and take and maintain dominion over the earth. And that has to do with kingdom.
That was a command to Adam, wasn't it? I'm not the biblical
It was a command to Adam, but remember that Jesus Christ said that he came to restore what Satan took from Adam in the garden. And so when Adam fell into sin, that the enemy took kind of temporary control, if you will, of some of that dominion. When Jesus came, he pushed him out, and that's why Paul refers to him as the prince of the power of the air, which is the second heaven, the area between the earth and God's throne room, is the area really where Satan is trapped right now. He enters in where we are by our permission, by the things that we say and the actions that we take that give him a legal right to operate in our midst as a result of our disobedience to God. But Christ restored for us that dominion that Adam was given by God in the garden at the very beginning. That's why Jesus Christ begins his ministry by saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand. That's dominion. That's a declaration of dominion. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent. Repent why? Repent so that you can be a partaker in the kingdom of heaven, which is at hand.
Well, I think it's time that we kind of rewrite a little bit of Jefferson. Because I think the situation, like I said, pursuit of happiness was very, very useful in 1776 in terms of motivation. But the reality is when you're talking about the G20 situation, when you're talking about Georgia and you're talking about actually now these folks in New York trying to decimate those things that the Trump family has accumulated over their life, they're saying that they other people are saying, you know, you don't really own anything. We own it, and you you can exercise your dominion, if you will, at our sufferance. And this is a wrong attitude, and people should be made to understand about that. And I think substituting the reality for pursuit of happiness is really, really important for us to do.
Well, and it's
you borrowed from Jefferson in your resolution, and that was the only reason that
Thanks so much for being with me today. I really appreciate it.
All right. Obvious. I think we need to be more obvious, as opposed to as subtle as Tom was when he was asking 20,000 people to die for freedom.
Well, and you know, part of the reason that I think Jefferson could do that is because, as you've mentioned too,
really excited,
really better excited understanding of what those words meant,
yes,
and the application of those things. I mean, the reality is, remember, you know, for the last 50, 60 years specifically, we've cast God out of our education system, so young people don't have any concept of God and his involvement. And man, I was watching Glenn Beck do an interview with a Catholic gentleman who is what they call a trad rad, which means he's one of those who believes in the traditional Roman Catholic belief system, the which is the biblical, and I get that. I mean,
they got rid of Latin.
Right. Yeah. Well, yes, but it's more than that. It's really about recognizing that the scripture, and that's really what, you know, the Protestant Reformation was saying as well. You know, solo Christo, and I forget the word for the word, but basically, you know, the word of God is inerrant. And so what the word says is what we believe. You've had the Catholic Church has really drifted from that, especially this Pope, into globalism. Anyway, Glenn.
Regarding him and in globalism, of course, he was just telling the world that the country should be without borders.
And yes. I'm thinking,
you know, I've been to the Vatican. Be nice. Take down your walls there, Mr. Pope.
Yeah. No. He hasn't. And he just announced that he was going to be having a sit down with, according to this interview, with Bill Clinton and Gavin Newsom, of all people. I mean, my God. People. Anyway, but setting this aside, what Glenn said that I was a little pushed back on was he talked about extensively there's a separation of church and state. There's a separation of church and state. And I thought, boy, Glenn, you know, you're great up to, but separation of church and state is not the founder's concept. And it was interesting to me because this has actually become the progressive language, not that Glenn's progressive, but that again, when you talk about language and language shifts and thought shifts, that's an interesting thought shift, because that whole concept was predicated on the Danbury Baptist letter. If you go back and look at the genesis for where they built the argument for separation of church and state, it was the Danbury Baptist letter, and that wasn't the case. One of the things that was brought up by the gentleman that he was talking to, and I apologize that I don't remember his name right now, but anyway, was how all 13 of the colonies had within their constitutions, and David Barton talks about this, and you know, it's interesting, having seen Barton on with Glenn for a little while. Don't know what that means. But anyway, but David talks about how in each one of the constitutions, there are criterion, because each of the 13 states essentially split off, predicated on a kind of denominational tone, a way that they interpreted the scriptures. And so, and you know what, that's all well and good. But one of the things that brought them together was, as I mentioned in my opening dialogue, that Jesus Christ is the only way, period. Salvation comes through Christ and through Christ alone. And they all agreed upon that. And they all agreed upon the Ten Commandments. And they all agreed upon what the law looked like. when it came to certain sacraments or emphases on certain sacraments, there were variances with regards to that or how they worshiped or what have you. But who they worshiped and what they believed and the basis of all of that was uniform across the 13 colonies.
It was uniform, but the ultimate uniformity also has to do with God recognizes us as individuals, not as a collective. And so that's where, and that's where the rights belong. The rights belong with the individuals, as with the except, obviously limited by your recognition of somebody else's rights. With that, and that's the most simple form. And so when the WHO and the WEF and the Alphabet Soup thing say no, we're going to be in charge, that's where, you know, it's a collective. They're it's a different term for communism. You know, they just have a different operation of communism. So at any rate, and besides all that, again, we're back to communism means that the collective owns everything and the individual owns nothing.
Well, here's the very first statement that speaks exactly to that. And this is the G20 preamble. We are one earth, one family, and we share one future.
Yeah. Which, of course, brings us all down, going down with the ship all together, all at one time.
Yeah. So, you know, I mean, that is, and then accelerate strong, sustainable, balanced, and inclusive growth.
On the bright side, you've got those supposed leaders doing that, but I can tell you anecdotally that I've talked to people in London and Sydney and Paris who understand what's at risk and what's at issue in terms of defending the United States, because the United States is the last best hope for mankind.
And they're they're looking to us for that exact defense. That kind of lays into that.
So our obligation is bigger than the you start with local things and your
right.
your idea of having resolutions for the. For the city and local governments, along with the state governments, ultimately the national governments, that recognizes these individual things. But we actually wind up with a responsibility that goes worldwide. It's incredible to understand. But there are people around there, around the world, that don't obviously look at. They want to be able, they want to have some place where they can point to when their own rights are implicated.
It's the pebble in the pond effect, right, David? Yeah. I mean, it's, you know, we're you know, and that's where this concept of isolationism and yes, it is America first, but then there's a purpose beyond that. Why America first? Well, because if you're going to be an impact player on the world stage, you need to have your own house in order. And so those that would argue that we need to get our house in order first, I agree with that. We need to get back in control. And right now, unfortunately, unlike any time in our history, we are battling an invasion on our own shores, and that invasion literally has happened in our own governmental system. And they have, you know, it's the same thing. I was talking with Scott Shara about this, you know, that you know, when you think about what they did, what they accomplished with their biological weapon, which I believe it was a biological weapon, by the way. But what they accomplished is they got us to basically institute a self-monitored martial law without declaring martial law. They got. And folks, this is why elections are so critical. I'm going to interrupt this. You can find this by going to the Chosen Generation radio.com, chosengenerationradio.com, and click on the show archives. But this is the interview that I did with Gregory Stenstrom and Leah Hoops, in which we called out Jim Jordan and Chip Roy and all of them to, investigate the election fraud, because it all starts with elections. Check it out. I'm excited to have my next guests with me. Greg is a returning guest to the program. Leah's schedule had not previously allowed her to join us, and I'm so glad that she is able to be here with us today. You know, we've got this new indictment against President Trump, and my friend David Chistokas, we actually spent Wednesday a week ago, the whole hour, talking about that. Jack Smith probably just stepped in it, because now President Trump has the opportunity, if his defense team will take advantage of it, to present all of the election evidence that's never been heard. Let's talk about that. Who would like to begin? Again, Parallel Election, A Blueprint for Deception is the name of the book. Who wants to start?
Leah.
Okay. Speaking of the parallels, you know, not only are we co-defendants with President Trump in a defamation case in Philadelphia, but, you know, we've been completely, let's say, they've tried to intimidate us, and they've tried to strip us of our rights. And they tried using a protective order the way that they're doing with President Trump right now in our defamation case, except they tried doing it in a civil court in Pennsylvania. And what the left-wing attorney, Connor Corcoran, who's a known activist who's representing James Savage, what he tried to do was he tried using a civil court to use a protective order, basically tried to sneak in a, I guess you could call it like a red flag kind of situation, and tried to confiscate our firearms, tried to muzzle us, and also tried to fine us $15,000 for simply talking on podcasts and radio shows. So we had a hearing on June 20th in which he tried to illegally use this protective order. The judge never should have had the hearing, because we don't have red flag laws in Pennsylvania. We've also never been convicted of any crime. And he, you know, he got destroyed. We spoke specifically about our constitutional rights, and Greg and I represented ourselves very well, and we wiped the floor with Connor Corcoran, to be quite honest, you know. But the parallels of what they're trying to do with President Trump and myself and Greg and anybody else that challenges the election is that they're trying to silence him, and it's not going to work. It's really not going to work.
Let's talk about what we know to be true about the, what I would call it, the stealing of an election. Am I is that an appropriate word?
It's a stealing of a nation is what it is. It's a stealing of a huge economy, and it's a stealing of our rights is exactly what it is. But yes, the election is only part of what they really stole.
So when you say that, define what you mean by that, Leah. When you say that the election is only part of what they stole, what else should people be paying attention to?
Well, Greg can talk a little bit more. He's really good with history and speaking about how they read a manifesto into our Congress years ago, and the plan was laid out back in the, I believe, Greg, it was the 40s, correct? When they started talking about the agenda of how they were completely going to transform our country into a socialist communist country. And the ways that they do that, because you can never drop a bomb on the United States, and you certainly could never invade us because we own 46% of the world's firearms. So what they do is they come in with a biochemical weapon known as the COVID jab or the Fauci-Ouchie. They completely melt down our economy. Obama stole, you know, the petrodollar and brought in the Green New Deal. They invaded our, you know, our churches, our schools. They shut us down. They invaded all of the small businesses, and they've been stealing from the taxpayers to send it off. It was so-called foreign aid. I mean, there's a multitude of ways that they've been destroying our country. But most importantly, they've been destroying our constitutional rights and also our Judeo-Christian values.
Greg, one of the things that you and I have talked about is the specific methods that they've used to steal these elections and the significant importance of the election process. In light of all the things Leah talked about, and we've talked about a lot of this stuff on the program, including the administrative state, how out of control the judiciary is. It seems like every move that we attempt to make as patriots, we have to understand they're two or three steps down the road, and the patriot movement is at this point playing catch up. What can we do in the election process that maybe helps to stem the tide, or at least some of it?
Well, we've been way behind, but we have caught up a little bit. But Lee, it bears to mention, before we go to what we've done to secure the elections, and we've done quite a bit, is to understand, you know, how it's happening. Leah touched on a few things, but, you know, they read a communist manifesto into the U.S. Congress in 1963. In 1978, they created a thing called the Council. Now, the Council is the DOJ, the Inspector General Office and Corps, and then the FBI, and then the sub-agencies. But primarily, they call it the CIGIE, C-I-G-I-E. This small group of people are running, you know, basically running the country. When people say, well, the CIA or George Soros or Obama, it's a very small group, and we've identified them. And and if you look at the indictment for Trump and the what happened during the elections, and as Leah said, it just traces back to everything, Corona, the attack on our schools and churches and so forth. This is a small group of people that think they run the country. And we filed criminal allegations with the House Judiciary on July 4th. So I filed as a whistleblower. Lee is a federal witness. I'm a federal whistleblower. We filed these allegations with the House, with Jim Jordan. Now, he has the power, and the House has the power to go to hold these people accountable. And the people that are going to hold accountable are Smith and Inspector General Horowitz and former Attorney General Barr and current Attorney General Rosen, among a cast of characters that were named in the indictment or in the allegation. So what you're seeing now with the indictment with Trump and some of the other things you're seeing in the news is, I wouldn't call it a panic attack, but we've caught, they never panic, I would say, but they react and they respond. So going back from 2020 is important, because what they've done specifically, and the specific charge, is that they obstructed federal investigations into the elections, the election fraud. So Leah and I filed our first lawsuit in November 4th of 2020. The day after the election, Leah and I filed our first suit. Now, that court went all the way to the Supreme Court. U.S. Supreme Court refused to hear it. They denied it. But we filed multiple cases since. But before we get to them, on November 7th, we notified the Department of Justice via William McSwain, who is the U.S. attorney for Pennsylvania, of these massive election fraud. On November 9th, now that went through the entire Department of Justice, the entire Inspector General Corps, the CIGIE, and the council. It went through the FBI, all levels. It went to all 94 U.S. attorneys. It went to all 74 IGs. It went to the National Security Council, the CIA, all the sub-agencies within 2 hours. 2 hours, it blew through the entire government on November 7th. On November 9th, U.S. Attorney General Barr, now we have all the emails. Leah found this. She was doing a search, and she found the initial FOIA, and then we went out and found more FOIAs that supplemented the evidence that Leah and I had already filed. So this is all corroborated. This is undisputable, irrefutable, that they federally obstructed investigations. So what Barr did is, on November 9th, he said, well, there's no evidence of widespread fraud. And the widespread, I'm putting for people who are, watching, not are listening and not watching.
Right.
Widespread is the operative word, because of the 3,143 counties in the United States, it only takes 20 to swing an election. They targeted 32, but it only takes 20 to swing a national election. So that operative word of widespread is very important, because they knew, the Department of Justice, who crafted the entire election fraud in the coup, they knew that we had them caught. So what they did is, the news didn't report the word widespread. the news reported that there's no evidence of election fraud. Now, what Leah and I have done since, with the help of other people, other patriots, good patriots, is we filed legislation or litigation for the November 2022 election to allow us to look and inspect the mail-in envelopes and the mail-in, they call them declarations, the front of the envelopes to be able to verify voters. The court here, Common Pleas Court, which is a corrupt court. We have a corrupt Common Pleas Court in Delaware County. We have judges that do not obey the law, and one of which we've accused of a felony, which is still waiting to be heard. What they did was they won't hear the case. They just quashed it. Lee and I had a few hearings. We had three hearings where we introduced evidence, and we got election officials to admit that they had broken election law and violated the law.
Let me jump in for just a minute. This is so important. But the other thing that I want people to understand, because this is one of the challenges, when David Shisokas and I spoke about this, and we talked about that Jack Smith has opened up a Pandora's box so that all this evidence can be brought in. I had Rick Manning on a little bit later on in the program, and Rick said, I agree, except that if you look at the J6 trials, every J6 defendant who attempted to bring video evidence, supporting documentation, everything that they had to defend themselves, the judge wouldn't allow it. Even though it was a criminal case, even though in a criminal case you're supposed to be able to present your defense, he wouldn't let him to present the defense.
Exactly.
So how do we overcome that? And I see Leah is like bursting at the seams.
Wait, Leah, I know where you're going. I'm going to give you the Philadelphia introducing the stuff.
All right.
So
go quick, because I got about 13 minutes. I mean, I'm going right through the break. I'm holding it because I want to get all of this in that we can.
What happened was, you're exactly right. Of the 64 Trump cases, 20 were just dismissed out of hand, yep, and the rest would not allow evidence.
Right.
Okay. So by putting these allegations in, the evidence the DOJ already has, they have it in their own records. And Leah, I know you're bursting. So what we did at the hearing in Philadelphia, Leah, you got taken from here about the evidence, being able to introduce the evidence, please.
So basically, there are things that attorneys will not do. And Greg and I, since we represent ourselves, they should listen. Attorneys should be doing this stuff. They should be putting everything on the line at this point. There's no excuse, in my point. I don't care about your bar license. We're not going to have a country. But basically, in a nutshell, what we did was, in our first case, we front loaded the evidence. So instead of waiting for discovery, we just put everything right up front, which is exactly what Trump should be doing at this point. He should be, his attorneys should be super aggressive, just like President Trump is. But what we did in Philadelphia was, we asked the Trump, we asked the judge specifically, did you verify and validate the evidence that we put, all of the information in the record that we provided? He said yes. What that did was, it placed the entire record into Philadelphia County. So right now we have evidence in a court, a trier of fact, sitting in Philadelphia County, which is attached to President Trump.
So what that means, because, I know you guys you had to become familiar with all of their tricks and everything that they're doing. But essentially what that means then is that because it's a part of the legal court document accepted system, it can be brought over into the case that has been brought against President Trump in this latest indictment. Is that what I'm hearing you to tell me?
That is 100% what I'm telling you. And the other thing that they need to be doing, the attorneys, and I'm speaking directly to you because I don't trust any of them, but what I'm saying to them is that I don't understand how they're not bringing forth Brady violations, which is another way of them to bring forth evidence. And a Brady violation is, it was Maryland versus Brady. But in a nutshell, if any time a prosecutor holds exculpatory evidence, meaning if there is evidence of their
malfeasance
or of their innocence,
obstruction too.
Okay.
It has to be given to the defense. So they should be filing massive Brady violations at this point against Jack Smith and every other prosecutor that was involved in J6.
Absolutely. And so they didn't, what they didn't do, and we know some of the people involved, the attorneys didn't request discovery, but regardless of the fact that they didn't request that exculpatory evidence, I wouldn't say it excuses them, but they didn't know about it. But the federal prosecutors had a responsibility and a requirement
to give it to them
to disclose that,
okay,
that they had not investigated J6. Now, without that disclosure, and as Leah said, without having introduced that exculpatory evidence, the J6 is every single person they found guilty is exonerated. They, or at least they can come back with that defense.
Right. And
with Trump, Leah, I just want to be one clear on the Philadelphia. We're co-defendants with President Trump in a defamation suit here. So he can absolutely use the evidence that Leah and I introduced into the court record, which includes the federal obstruction of investigations by the DOJ. He's got that in his hands, and he can use that, you know, to fight his indictment. And he knows it.
Now, let me ask you this. It just popped into my head. I've had Lloyd Brunson on the program, and we've talked with him about his suit and the Supreme Court's hesitancy to take it, but he's got some attorneys now, and they are using another method by which to refile to the Supreme Court that I guess is available to them. Yes. Is the information, I'm sure you're familiar with the case, is the information that you and Leah have, is that evidence that Brunson could use relative to his charges of basically fraud against these congressional members?
Absolutely. Because some of those congressional members and the people that were named in his suit, because he sued 305 members of Congress.
Right.
Some of those very same people are named in our evidence and are in the emails in the FOIA for, you know, that they were absolutely aware that there was massive election fraud and they did nothing to further that investigation. They knew the investigation had been obstructed by DOJ and the SIGI and the FBI. They knew it. And we can prove it. So yes, it does apply to Brunson, and they will be able to use that if they contact us. We'll be happy to work with them.
Well, I'll be happy to make an introduction if you guys haven't connected with Lloyd Brunson yet. I'll make a text introduction. We'll get that done, Greg. I've got your cell number and you can get me Leah's and we can make that happen. I'd love to connect you with David Shostokas as well, because he's connected to one of Trump's attorneys and was going to, you know, suggest to him very strongly. He was actually going to be meeting with him last week, but to suggest to him very strongly that they use the tact in a manner of speaking that you're talking about, because he was one of the ones that testified in Allegheny County with Rudy Giuliani regarding what he personally witnessed being kept in the cage.
Leah? We're also at Gettysburg. Greg and I were witnesses at Gettysburg as well. So I don't remember who David is. Maybe if I saw him by face. But we were there that day.
Okay. Well, again, you know, I'm one of those connector guys. I feel like I'm playing that game, you know, where it's got like all the little faces and stuff, and then you go, oh, wait a minute, it's under that tab. Let me connect this tab to that tab and put those guys together. So I love doing that. I really do. It's the least I can do for my country. All right. As we sit right now, I guess the other thing, and I think I'm thinking about, you know, Larry Klayman has been doing a lot with citizen grand juries. If we can't get the judiciary to actually do their jobs, would the sitting of a citizen grand jury on this be a possibility? I don't know. I'm just throwing it out there.
There are many possibilities that the Constitution, provides for us and for the people. I don't say citizen because that
I understand. I know.
Citizen. We are the people.
And yes.
The people of
a people's grand jury.
That's right. So, yes, that would absolutely. There's many options. And that being one of them. There are other options that we're going to be taking in the very near future as well when it comes to the legislature.
You mentioned Mr. Jim Jordan and his committee. What can my audience do? What can we, the people, do to put some pressure and maybe, you know, create a little bit of uncomfortableness for these people who refuse to do their jobs.
I'll take this one. One of them can be
phone calls, emails, and faxes to Jim Jordan's office. So that can be one of them.
Okay. 202-224-3121, by the way, folks, is the Capitol switchboard. 202-224-3121. Greg?
July 4th, I submitted the allegations. His staff, the judiciary staff and Jim Jordan's staff, we've sent 3 follow-ups. And they have not, they're all over my LinkedIn, and I know they received it. We have the receipts. They have not presented it to Jordan yet. So the pressure that Leah said, you know, having people call and say, look, you've got criminal allegations against Smith and Barr and Ray and Horowitz sitting, okay, in your staff, in your own staff, is withholding.
Okay, so I'm sending a text to you and Jim together. What would you like me to say?
Just say, please acknowledge receipt of Gregory Stenstrom's criminal allegations, which we do not believe your staff has provided to you yet. Something like that. I didn't know you had Jim Jordan's text. If I knew that, I would have called you last week.
Well, see, bud, if you just reach out to me, you'll find these things out. Just teasing. Okay, of the criminal
allegations
presented to your staff, right?
Presented to you that are being withheld by your staff. And we know they're being withheld. They refuse to respond. And if you want to trade numbers, we'll give them the names and we'll send them the emails that have been sent, 3 different emails to his chief of staff for the Judiciary Committee and to his own staff in his home state.
You know who else I'm going to add to this? His friend Chip Roy.
Oh, Chip. I like Chip.
Roy?
Chip, great.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, Chip. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Good. Yeah. Well, yeah. Actually, in my testimony, if you've watched my testimony, you'll see a picture of me and Jim and Chip having dinner together.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so, Chip's great. I love when he goes off on a rant. It's great.
Me too. Me too. All right. We are just about at the end of our time together. Final. So the text is sent. You'll see it on your phone, Greg. It should. There you go. We're not playing around. This is serious. This is serious stuff, and it needs to be handled and it needs to be taken care of. 202-224-3121. Call the switchboard and tell them you want to speak to Jim Jordan's office and you want them to respond to the criminal allegations that have been presented to them by Gregory Stenstrom and Leah Hoops.
That's it.
Okay. And if folks want to reach either of you or both of you to say, hey, you know, send me, however that works, what's the best way?
You can, Gregory has a social media platform, www.patriot.online. You can find us there, but you can search by name. You can find me on Facebook, Leah Hoops. You can find me also on Telegram, Leah Hoops, the Delco Patriot. You can find me on True Social, any platform that you could possibly think of. You can find us there.
Okay. All right. Gregory Stenstrom and Leah Hoops. Father, I just lift these two folks up to you, Greg and Leah, and I ask you, Father God, for your hand of protection to be upon them. I ask you to put warring angels around them and around their families, around their finances, around every aspect of their lives right now. I create a canopy of protection. And I ask you, Father God, to place that upon them. And I break off every assignment of the enemy against them right now by the power of the Holy Blood, cross, resurrection, and ascension of the true Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth who came in the flesh. And I ask, Father God, Lord, that you would restore our nation. Restore our nation. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor Greg.
Thank you. One last thing, if you guys can also find us at www.parallelelection.com where you can get a copy of our book.
There we go. And that's a great way to support them, folks. www.parallelelection. You can see it on your screen if you're watching. Parallelelection.com.
Correct.
Fantastic. The Lord bless you. Thanks so much for being with me today. I really appreciate it. All right, quick break. Lisa Paglia Skinner, we have some leadership that might have dementia. How do we handle that?